Blog Talk Radio.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
Okay, folks, we are here today. We're only going to be here for a short period of time because there's all kinds of stuff going on here, including storms, but that's neither here nor there. Hopefully my microphone is working. My chat room, again, folks, this is not my fault. Blog Talk Radio has done something again with the chat rooms. They will not open up, and I'm not exactly sure what's going on, but I've sent a couple of tickets in to them to see if they could get that fixed. But so far, I have heard just one thing, and that was after my first attempt at it last week when I did my show, talking about how, you know, I told them that we didn't have a chat room in my show, nor my the Saturday show that we have on Saturdays. But today we're only going to be about an hour long. So we were going to have a discussion on the Constitution and bring in my good friend Douglas V. Gibbs, who is a constitutional scholar and teacher in California. And he was out on an event today for talking about the Constitution and the reasons for it needing to be around. So he wasn't able to get here today. So that's one of the reasons why my show hasn't gone for the things that I had said all week long that we were going to talk about. And we, you know, cause I was going to talk about the Constitution. I was going to have Doug on here and we were going to discuss it, but it doesn't look like it's going to be happening because he had a an event. So, but we have thunderstorms rolling through here right now. So if I suddenly disappear, there's the reason why. Probably because I lost my power. When the power goes out, my modem goes out, and there goes my internet. But so far, we are in the process of working on getting my stuff going here in the chat room. I'm still trying to put things together as we are in the process of working on doing what we need to do to get this show running the way it needs to. I tried to get my hour one segment in there, and I'm not exactly sure where the heck it went. It disappeared on me. But the one that I had in there a couple weeks ago, I had kind of actually redone because I had a problem with the fact that my intro with Kathy was done while I was still with Traditional American Patriot Network. Now that I own Conservative Nation Media, we are trying to get ourselves back up and going. I'm not sure if the show for yesterday aired. I know there was another. I had put in one for Mr. Brown to do his show so he wouldn't have to put it in. And I noticed there was another one in there today. So for the same time. So I guess he may have done it. I wasn't around to hear it and I haven't been able to hear it yet. So if he was there, I'm sure it was an awesome show. He has done about three or four of them for us so far. And he does an awesome job. Just constantly, you know, always talking about things that really should matter to Americans, black or white. You know, doesn't matter what color you are. You know, if you live in America and you love America, then you're an American. To me, that's the way it is, and that's the way it should be. But like I had said before, we had tried to get our chat room open, and I'm still getting that thing where they say, oops, our engineers have been notified and we will get this fixed And then it goes on to say, and in many cases, it will work the second time you try again. Well, I've tried over and over and over and over and over again, and it stays exactly with that. And it doesn't even give me the option to be able to open up a second window to put the chat room in there. So sorry about that, folks. There is no chat room tonight. And like I said, I'm only doing an hour on the show. But I do have some of that planned out here. Karl Rove remarked on Fox News that when Congressman and the Democrat Party presidential candidate John Delaney took the stage in the California Democratic Convention, he was actually booed when he criticized socialized medicine, or Medicare for All is the correct catchphrase. It revealed a divide among Democrats as we approach the 2020 presidential election season. And one of the things that I've noticed about this is that there's all kinds of the Democrats are constantly talking about how divided the Republican Party is. How some of them, you know, we've actually got one Republican who right now is stupidly calling for impeachment, which is something that, you know, these people who are calling for this is completely insane because of the things that are required to get an impeachment. And there isn't a court in the land right now that will touch it if it goes that far. But on this story that I was talking about here, both Delaney and former Colorado Governor Hickenlooper were booed for denouncing socialism, even though they chose their words carefully and intentionally. Rove was initially saying that there are two Democrat parties. One yearns for more fundamental and traditional party that moves towards the center when the left-wing air gets too thick, and the other is the extreme socialist version nurtured by the Democrats in our education system and by Hollywood and by socialists like Ocasio-Cortez and others that have been around. The socialists have now come of age, and they are a significant voice in the party that is trying to cope with the kind of change they thought they had hoped for and finding out that, hey, it's not going to work. I believe the party divide in the party largely runs along geographical lines. In other words, if the convention had been held by the Kansas Democratic Party or the Georgia Democratic Party, I don't think the vitriol and audible discontent would have glowed so brightly. But when I tell people I'm from California and even out of state, Democrats quickly quip, "Ah, you mean California?" I tell my fellow Californians all the time, when doom and gloom fears begin to percolate, remember that the rest of the country is nothing like California, except maybe for New York City, Chicago, a few neighborhoods, and a handful of large cities. This is and will be a large concern for the National Party. The fringe is no longer the fringe. Socialists have now multiplied into a faction large enough to be a factor in the direction that will be taken by the Democrat Party. While they are for the most part still confined to Hollywood campuses, MSNBC, CNN, Hollywood, San Francisco, and the California coast, and the three largest population centers in the country, the reality is that like a cancer, they are growing and spreading. The old mantra of only injecting socialism a little at a time so that the voters don't realize what is going on is truly Marxist has gone out the window. The socialist rooster has come home to roost, and the Democrats had hoped that when that day came, America would be ready for it. And while the millennials are more than happy to proclaim they are more than 50% that they think there is nothing wrong with socialism, the voters older than they are and the younger generation behind them are not exactly in the same mindset, thankfully. Socialist revolution has come to America, but there aren't enough revolutionaries to carry it out. Meanwhile, President Trump is winning over an ever-growing percentage of Hispanics and blacks, which leaves the Democrats with the millennials beating the socialist drum, the old guard refusing to go to that extreme, and the small group of newly protected groups, homosexuals and transsexuals, even beginning to believe they are getting a little ridiculous. As a result, many of them have decided to hashtag walk away. Could we be seeing the beginning of the Democrat Party going the way of the Whigs? Could we see a great divide and an era of Republican control that lasts decades? The radicals that will take the streets before they will let that happen. And that's my fear. I believe the radical extreme wing of the Democrat Party houses a faction that is just itching to launch a campaign of blood in the streets. Funny thing is, they were saying the same thing about the Tea Party only a decade ago. This is the NWCR radio show, or the New Wise Conservatism Radio, as I've been calling it, and I'm your host, Robert the Infidel, with today's show. Glad you are here with us on this, the 9th day of June, in the year of our Lord, 2019. Indiana is still cool for this time of year, but that is nothing to complain about because it isn't cold. How about where you are?
Of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show with your host, Robert Garding. At the rate our leaders are ignoring our Constitution, we're finding that they cannot lead, nor do they want to keep us safe from our enemies. And yes, we have some. From the crossroads of America, the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show is brought to you through the traditional American Patriot Network with the Doctor of this Republic, showing that the truth can be told to save this nation. And now, on with the show.
Okay, we are back, and as always, the call-in number on the show is 646-478-5284. If you wish to join the discussion today, welcome to the show. Like I said, the chat room is not open, and it's not my fault. Blog Talk Radio has done something again, and chat just will not open. It keeps saying, oops, our engineers have been notified, and we will get this fixed. In many cases, it will work the second time if you try again, and I've tried. I don't know how many times I've tried it again that never works, but this week in Conservative Tribune comes this one about the abortion pill RU8486 and the video that has gone viral on this one. The mother-to-be, and it's sad that that is what I had to call her, actually is killing twins that she was going to have and that she is killing. To make matters worse, she actually talks to them, telling them how honored she was that she was chosen for this gift of life. But no, I can't have you. She took the pill and killed them. No remorse, no concern for the children she just murdered, nothing but peace that she thinks she'll get, but she will never get that peace. And let me break it down for what you just heard. For what you will hear on my audio here, I've got it here somewhere. Let me play that for you before I go any farther. Nope, wrong. Okay, I didn't do that right. One of these days, I swear. I think that once I get the, there you go. I found it. There we are. Here it is.
So do you have any questions before we get you started here?
A great procedure for women who want to feel like they have control over the procedure, who wants to just have everything happen in the privacy of their own home.
The drug mefaprostone RU486 was approved by the FDA in 2000. Medical abortions now account for roughly a third of all abortions in Pennsylvania.
This is the first pill you're going to take. This is the one called the mifepristone. This is the stuff that makes the pregnancy stop growing and start to unattach a little bit from the uterus. It gets the process started.
Okay.
So you swallow that down like a regular pill.
Okay. 24 hours later, she takes another pill called misoprostol that helps to induce the cramping and the bleeding that will actually help her body push the pregnancy tissue out of her uterus.
This is the misoprostol medicine. It gives you a little bit of the miscarriage symptoms. Okay. And then you have your follow-up appointment made?
I do.
Okay. A week or two?
Yes.
Okay. That's really important because we want to see...
What I hope I feel is a sense of peace, not only with myself and in the decision that I've made, but also a sense of peace with these two beings that I've chosen not to bring into the world. Thank you for choosing me, and I'm honored to be given this gift of life. And also, I can't do it right now. I can't accept that mantle in terms of the other lives that I'm taking care of and I'm responsible for.
Okay, on the last end of that, you heard her say, thank you for this gift of life. I am honored, but no, I can't do it. In other words, she is not honored. But first you heard the doctor say with great enthusiasm that RU486 is a great procedure. We hear the doctor tell her this is the stuff that makes the pregnancy stop growing. This is the stuff actually that kills the baby. But she doesn't say that. She says, this is the stuff that makes the pregnancy stop growing. Like, okay, we're going to mute it so that it doesn't grow anymore. It'll stay the same size it is. But we won't kill it. No, that's what she's doing. They're murdering this baby. Now, when the doctor hands the little pills of death to the patient, we see her with no visible recognition of the gravity of the moment take the prescribed death sentence to her mouth. And then the doctor explains to viewers that the patient will take another pill 24 hours later that will help the push the pregnancy tissue out of her uterus. But the most difficult part of this to listen to, and actually I saw the video, was the most heart-rending section by far is the mother explaining her mindset. When she said, quote, what I hope I feel is a sense of peace, not only with myself, but the decision that I've made, but also a sense of peace with these two beings that I've chosen not to bring into the world. Unquote. The patient, that was the mother. She said the mother clearly acknowledged that they are beings and then acknowledged that it was her choice to end their existence. But she concludes with the most sickening and shocking statement that I've ever seen. On abortion, she actually speaks to the beings that she is murdering by thanking them. She says, quote, thank you for choosing me. I'm honored to be given this gift of life. But then, casually, as swallowing a little pill, she told her soon-to-be dead babies, I can't do it right now. I can't accept that mantle in terms of other lives that I'm taking care of and that I'm responsible for. Why would that? Would these two babies make her kill the other ones? My heart truly breaks for her. My heart breaks that she sees life as so invaluable that she can speak to the beings she kills with such twisted words of emotion, that she can justify the killing of her twins as a pure cost-benefit analysis. I can't do it right now is proof of a greater problem. Until we see life as the ultimate gift and creation of an all-powerful, all-knowing God, then we give ourselves the option of seeing it as something that is our right to eliminate when it is inconvenient. Today's show, for the most part, was going to be about the Constitution, but I just had to place that one in there because the left feels that killing babies in the womb is a constitutionally protected right of the women to do. But it is not. The Constitution does not give women the right to kill the babies in the womb. No one on earth can give that right. It is murder, and that one fact right there should tell this woman who wants to feel peace about it that she won't. She just murdered two helpless babies before they could even have the chance to be able to defend themselves against this killing that their mother decided was something she had to do because she couldn't take care of them right now. This kind of thing is something that Roe versus Wade has put into our subconscious, that it's okay. We can kill the babies. It doesn't matter. They're not alive yet. Yeah, they are. They're not born yet. Well, they're still alive. The thing that drives me crazy about this whole thing, folks, is the fact that right now we have the Democrats on one side of the issue saying that it's the women's right to choose. No, it's not. If they choose to have sex in the first place, then they should suffer the consequences if that's what they feel a baby is, because their actions caused it. And that baby had no choice in the matter but to become part of that pregnancy. And it drives me insane that the Democrats think that the women's right to choose is something that is constitutionally theirs to have. No, it's not. I found an article from the New York Post, which actually caught my attention because the headline says it all. One truthful Democrat emerges to call out the party's delusions. Now, I've been saying for quite a while now that Democrats, to a man, are against anything that Trump would want, Trump would try for the United, for the nation. But this one comes out, and this one was written by Michael Goodwin. And he was writing about Bob Kerrey, Kerry, K-E-R-R-E-Y, the former Nebraska senator and governor, was always one, and Michael writes about this, he says, was always one of my favorite politicians, in part because his politics weren't perfectly polished. Among the other freewheeling moments, he called fellow Democrats Bill Clinton an uncommonly good liar, and said the requirements for becoming president is that you must want it more than life itself. Kerry moved on to academia and now to an investment bank, and now has moved on to an investment banker, but hasn't lost the willingness to break ranks with his party. The habit surfaces in a withering criticism of the current Democrats, to which he says they are suffering from two major delusions. Now, this is a Democrat talking. Now, this is pretty awesome if we think about it. The first, he writes in an op-ed in the Omaha World Herald, says, is that Americans long for a president who will ask us to pay more for the pleasure of increasing the role of the federal government in our lives. That's the Democrats to a T. He cites as examples the foolish push for the Green New Deal, wealth taxes, and Medicare for all of which are being embraced by the 2020 candidates. The Dems' second delusion, he says, is that Americans were robbed of the truth when Special Prosecutor Robert Mueller and Attorney General William Barr concluded that President Trump did not collude with Russia in 2016. Now, he goes on to say that there is no reason to think that the full report would change the finding that Trump is an innocent man. Now, that goes completely against what the Democrats normally think, isn't it? Doesn't it? There are remarkable observations, but Kerry isn't finished. He also supports the movement to find out what the FBI was up to in 2016 and why it led the nation down the Russia rabbit hole. Congress needs to investigate how the Department of Justice got this one so wrong, he writes. If the President of the United States is vulnerable to prosecutorial abuse, then God help all the rest of us. He makes several recommendations, including one that the congressional probe should be carried out by a nonpartisan commission of outsiders. He told me in a brief interview that the probe should be complete complement but not replace anything Senator Lindsey Graham does with the Judiciary Committee or anything done with the Justice Department or its Inspector General. As he put in the interview, he wants an independent commission because we need something the public can trust. Taken together, the op-ed in his comments amount to a damning indictment of his party and Washington at large. Who can argue? The problem, of course, is that all leading Democrats are drinking the Kool-Aid that America is ready to embrace extreme left-wing policies and that Mueller and Barr are covering up for Trump, Vladimir Putin. This is the stuff of moonbats and the tinfoil hate, yet there is a major Democrat in power with the courage to say so. I've missed it. The whole party, Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi included, seem determined to hold hands and jump off a cliff, like lemmings, which is why Kerry's voice is so important, and that's K-E-R-R-E-Y, not Kerry like John Kerry. This is another one. But this is why his voice is so important and timely. Hopefully other Democrats will summon the courage to join him. Much has been said about what is provoking the party's lurch to madness with the inordinate power of small social media mobs and dumbing down of college education being obvious contributors. But I remain convinced that most comprehensive explanation for all this weird behavior is that it is a deeply misguided response to Trump. Trump derangement syndrome is no joke, and it's driving the opposition to make irrational and even insane statements and decisions. While some of the reaction has to do with Trump's unorthodox conduct and habits, much of it is due to the simple fact that he has produced significant achievements for the country, something the Dems never expected and can't digest. While success in politics usually spawns imitation, Trump's success shocks his opponents and provokes them to behave in bizarre and self-defeating ways. Yes, this Democrat is saying the Democrats are working with self-defeating policies. First, there is the mad-as-hell political lunacy exhibited by the representatives Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler. They are obsessed with impeachment and the promise to find facts to support it any day now. They show no desire to spend a single moment on anything else, meaning they have abdicated their day jobs. Trump is their white whale, and we know how Moby Dick ended. Second, the policy responses are just as daffy. Take immigration, where Democrats long supported border security before suddenly opposing it. Pelosi's remarks that walls are immoral stands in stark contrast to the fact that she voted for many of the 700 miles of walls that were built under previous presidents. To say they are immoral only because Trump supports them means she is willing to damage the nation because she hates the president. Reparations are an example of a different kind. Why is there support for this idea? Which existed on the fringe for decades, becoming mandatory for the party's presidential candidates. My suspicion is part of the explanation involves Trump's success is driven down black unemployment to its lowest levels ever. Throw in the nascent movement among black conservatives to escape what some call the Democrats' plantation, and there is real fear on the left that their near monopoly. A plastic hold on the black vote is in jeopardy. So in a bid to Trump Trump's bid to Trump Trump among blacks voters, Dems have decided that treating them as victims and giving them government handouts is the answer. But again, the response is self-defeating because the support for such a radical and impractical proposition sets up a contrast that will favor Trump among most voters, including many blacks. In political terms, 2020 is light years away, but with Mueller having spoken and with the leading Democrats trapped by their continuing delusions, the point of no return is growing closer and closer by the day. I see my normal person has come in to listen to the show. I started a half an hour early today. I'm only going for an hour today because the show that I had all planned out and everything couldn't be done. I was going to do the Constitution today. And like I said, our chat room is not open. Blog Talk Radio has not been able to fix that yet. So that is so far what's going on. But we are at a point where I'm going to do my first break, and I will be right back. We will be right back after these important messages.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here? The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
With this new human. And she's got this little toy she's always playing with, all day long. Tap, 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 bloop, bloop. She can't put it down. There it is. Oh, and get this. She even talks to it. Last week, she asked it for Chinese. And guess what? Egg rolls showed up. Like magic. Humans have cool toys.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
No one can really imagine what lifestyle our military families live while they serve to protect us, both foreign and domestically. These families say goodbye to their loved ones for months and even years at a time. They miss births, birthdays, Christmases, anniversaries, first steps, first words, and they are sometimes not even recognized upon their return. They move every 2 to 4 years, their children have to go to a new school, make new friends, and just to keep up with all the changes and losses while their parent is gone is hard work. A lot of people don't realize the financial burden of relocating a family time and time again. Not only that, but insurance rates change every time, coming up with first, last, and deposit for an apartment if there isn't housing available to you. Traveling home from emergencies that the military doesn't cover. The list goes on and on. People think the government covers all costs for us, and it's unfortunately not true. Because of all the troubles they have, families are at times in need of help and greatly need our patriotic citizens to give them a helping hand by sending in donations. Sam Fam Inc. is a nonprofit 501c3 foundation that is dedicated to helping America's active military. We understand that separation is difficult, and being a single parent while your significant other is protecting our homeland is a burden that few can relate to. Our mission is to provide support, protection, and help boost morale and peace of mind for the active duty military. We also want to assist retired veterans. The families we help are chosen through essays. Now here is where we ask for help. Right now, we can only accept checks made out to Sam Fam Inc. That is SAM-FAM, Inc. 18 Eastern Avenue, Sacow, Maine, 04072, and that's SACO. Make sure to put my name or one of the other members' names on there so this can be credited with the right person. Your donations are tax deductible. Thanks in advance, and God bless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we are back. Like I said at the beginning of the show a half hour ago, we are only going for an hour tonight, so hopefully you guys have great weather that you can go out and enjoy the rest of your day with, but we are back from Conservative Tribune comes this one, written by Douglas Golden. The headline, Democrat presidential candidate, taxpayer-funded abortion is like paying our troops. Really? Unless you pay attention to the entire Democrat field for president, what is it now, 23, 24, 11 billion? You're probably not familiar with Representative Seth Moulton. Moulton of Massachusetts served in the Marines, is young, energetic, and has been solid on military issues. This would make for a great backstory were it not the year of Major Pete, who also has all those things, plus the ability to make the media swoon for a husband who is a Twitter star. Sorry, Seth. As it is, Moulton doesn't even get mentioned in Real Clear Politics polling average, which includes strange also-rans such as billionaire universal basic income anti-circumcision buff Andrew Yang and spiritual hokum guru Marianne Williamson. However, defending the right to an abortion, particularly a taxpayer-funded one, is at the moment what the reparations were 2 months ago. A good way to stand out to be to the activist base if you're willing to chart a course to the point furthest left of the map. On this count, it's easy to see Moulton might be able to break through the middle, since he apparently believes that getting a taxpayer-funded abortion is pretty much the same as paying our troops. So the backstory in this case, in case you've not seen the news for a couple of days, Joe Biden, the front runner of the Democrat field, has now said he's against the Hyde Amendment, the rule that bans federal taxpayer funds from being used in the abortion. And here's what this audio that I have on this one has to say.
If I can, we haven't had much of a chance to talk about it this morning because we've been watching what's going on in Normandy, but there's an interesting development in the Democratic race for president, which is that Joe Biden, the former vice president, who is the front runner right now, has continued to say that he supports the Hyde Amendment, which has been in place since the late 70s, which bans federal funding for abortions, except in the case of rape, incest, or the life of the mother. Joe Biden has been clear on his support of the Hyde Amendment throughout his career. The Democratic Party platform has gone against that starting in 2016, but Joe Biden hasn't changed his position. What's your opinion of that?
I think he should change his position. I think it's wrong. It disproportionately attacks women who don't have the private means to afford an abortion. And it's sort of like saying, you know, I support the troops, but I don't want to pay them.
But
I mean, that's the analogy here. And I think it's wrong. I mean, he says he's pro-choice. He says he supports a woman's right this decision with her doctor, and yet he refuses to support a federal funds for it. I think it's another example of why it's time for a new generation of leadership in our party, in our country, a new generation of leadership on national security, as I've been talking about a lot on the campaign trail, in women's rights, and so many things.
But on the flip side, the public polling is more where he is. The position of the public polling is more where he is than where you are, because people who don't believe in abortion don't want their taxpayer dollars going to fund them.
Leadership is not following the polls. It's changing public opinion to do the right thing. That's what leadership is all about. And that's what we should expect of our next president.
Do you think that a politician can be fully pro-choice and support the Hyde Amendment at the same time?
It's, in my opinion, no. Because like I said, it's like saying you support the troops, but you don't want to pay them. You support a woman's right for an abortion, but you don't think that we should fund those who can't afford it themselves. And that's just wrong. So this is a place where we need to change public opinion. I think a better way to put it is leaders don't follow polls. Polls follow leaders.
It seems like what he was talking about there is that the polls follow the leaders. So the leaders are the ones who are telling the polls what to say. Well, that's not what's going on right now. The polls are saying and telling what the people are following. But if I believe, on Joe Biden on the Thursday speech, according to CNN, said, "If I believe health care is a right, as I do, I can no longer support an amendment that makes that right dependent on someone's zip code. I can't justify leaving millions of women without access to health, to the care they need, and the ability to exercise their constitutionally protected right," unquote. Now, it's like I said before, women do not have a constitutionally protected right to have an abortion. This, you probably won't be shocked to learn, happened after other Democrats began hammering for support for supporting the Hyde Amendment. It was also after a kerfuffle in which Biden told an activist that he was against the Hyde Amendment. Then he said he was for it through his campaign, and then he said he was against it in his Thursday speech. Representative Moulton was on CNN in the lacuna between Biden's first period of opposition to the Hyde Amendment and his second and currently operative period of opposition to the Hyde Amendment. "I think it's wrong," Moulton said of the amendment. "It's disproportionately attacks women who don't have the private means to afford an abortion." Completing this, you know, and that's what, when Moulton's, like the Ernest Shackleton of liberal ideology, trekked and planted his flag at the left pole of public opinion. It's sort of like saying, you know, "I support the troops, but I don't want to pay them," said Moulton. That's the analogy here, and I think it's wrong. Folks, this whole idea that women have the right, the constitutional right to an abortion, whether they can afford one or not, is not true. They have the constitutional right to start the pregnancy or do what it takes to start the pregnancy, like have sex. They have the constitutional right to do what they want, but that does not include killing a baby. And this whole idea that the Democrats are saying that the woman's constitutional right includes sucking that baby out of her womb with a vacuum cleaner. No, it doesn't. This is insane, folks. And I don't know. It seems like every week the Democrats are giving me enough every week to do a 10-hour show and never say one subject more than once. And very few of them, as a matter of fact, the one that I just got through talking about a little while ago about the Democrat that's going against Democrat policies, that one don't happen often. That's the first one I have seen in a long time. Most Democrats fall hook, line, and sinker, lockstep right behind Nancy Pelosi or Maxine Waters or whatever. And that's what my next story is about, Maxine Waters. It also came from Conservative Tribune. And the headline, hours after Maxine Waters' cocky bluff prediction, Trump announces a historic Mexico deal. You remember all of this. This came right through us last week after Trump made his announcement that if Mexico didn't try to stop illegals from coming through their country to get to our borders, he was going to impose tariffs on them. Well, Maxine Waters immediately said, "Oh, this is a bluff. There is nothing more to it than that. If he does this, Mexico will retaliate and we'll be in trouble. We'll have all kinds of problems." No. But Representative Maxine Waters, the California Democrat who is one of President Donald Trump's most vocal and prominent haters, will be dining on a plate full of crow this weekend after her prediction that the president was bluffing on his threat of Mexico tariffs backfired in a spectacular fashion. All eyes were on the president the past few days as everyone waited to see what would happen regarding his threat to impose that 5% tariff on Mexico. One set of those eyes belonged to Waters, who tweeted Friday morning that dictator Trump wouldn't follow through on his threat. Spineless GOP senators grew a backbone this weekend and finally stood up to their dictator Trump on something Mexico tariffs, also known as a tax increase on the American consumers. Bet your bottom dollar Trump will back off by the weekend. Just another bluff, she wrote. But as the world found out Friday afternoon, Mexico quickly found out that Trump had steel nerves on the issue and wasn't going to budge. Trump, using his legendary negotiation skills, which it seems the Democrats have forgotten. He really does. He's got legendary negotiation skills and economic tools at his disposal, was able to force the hand of Mexican officials to agree to finally start cracking down on the illegal immigration problem. I am pleased to inform you that the United States of America has reached a signed agreement with Mexico. The tariffs scheduled to be implemented by the U.S. on Monday against Mexico are hereby indefinitely suspended. Mexico, in turn, has agreed to take strong measures to, oddly enough, many of Waters' supporters, including left-wing supporters on the social media, claim victory for the lawmaker, saying that she correctly predicted that Trump would back off on the tariffs. But obviously, that's a complete distortion of what actually happened. What needed to be done was done, plain and simple. Trump did it. The Democrats didn't. Mexican officials knew Trump was ready to levy the tariffs, so they immediately came to the bargaining table and promised to take action, including the deployment of 6,000 Mexico troops on their border. According to a follow-up tweet by Trump, Mexico also vowed to purchase a large amount of agricultural product from American farmers, which is yet another win Democrats won't see. That's what happens when you hold all the best cards on the table. Well, the Democrats, like Waters, spent the week criticizing and insulting the president. Trump proved once again that the American people voted for someone who would lead the country and protect our southern borders from what the president and many experts called a sincere crisis. Now, do you think for a second that someone like Waters or any of her leftist colleagues would have had the political fortitude to nail down such an incredible deal with Mexico? Of course not. We saw their negotiation skills back with the Obama era, when the United States was taken advantage of at every turn and nobody batted an eye. While the illegal immigration situation still needs a lot of work, Trump's power play is certainly a huge step in the right direction. Democrats will never admit that, of course, but that's just fine with me. That's just fine with every freedom loving American patriot. We'll see just how far screaming and whining about impeachment gets them in 2020 when their next election comes around. They could put 1,000 like-minded candidates up against Trump, and I don't think they would win anything. From Western Journal, written by Jack Davis, comes this. When two Republican ex-state senators found dead in their homes within 2 days, a former president, Republican Oklahoma state senator was found dead in his home on Wednesday, the second unexpected death of a state legislator in 2 days. Police found the body of former state senator Jonathan Nichols on Wednesday in his home in Norman, Oklahoma, Fox News reported. Based on officers that arrived on the scene, it was clear that there was an apparent gunshot wound. Norman Police Department Public Information Officer Sarah Jensen said, according to KFOR, this individual was a public servant in the Norman community, served not only with the district attorney's office, but also as a legislator. A statement from the Norman police said investigators are currently working with Oklahoma Medical Examiner's Office to determine the exact cause and manner of death. Nichols, 53, served the Oklahoma Senate from 2000 to 2012. Earlier this week, the body of former Republican State Senator Linda Collins Smith, 57, was found in her home in Pocahontas, Arkansas, KATV reported. Ken Yang Collins, Smith's former press secretary, said the death is being treated as a homicide. Neighbors reportedly heard gunshots either 1 or 2 days before Collins Smith was found dead, Yang told KATV. The former legislator's body was wrapped in a blanket when it was discovered, KATV reported. No further details on her death have been released at this time. Colin Smith, a former Democrat who switched to the Republican Party in 2011, represented the 19th District of Arkansas from 2014 until losing in the 2019 primary. Both legislators were mourned by their colleagues. Senator Jonathan Nichols was the most brilliant political legal mind in the Oklahoma State Legislature and worked tirelessly as a senator for years on staff to help guide our state forward, said Senator State Stanbridge, who succeeded Nichols, according to CNN. I am shocked and incredibly saddened to learn that Jonathan has passed away. He was a valuable member of my staff and a friend. Jonathan was a very proud man, but he served humbly. Oklahoma House Speaker Charles McCall, for whom Nichols was working at the time of his death, said in a statement, the Arkansas Republican Party praised Collins Smith as a passionate voice for her people and close member of our Republican Party. We are praying for her loved ones during this difficult time. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson also expressed his condolences over Colin Smith's death. She was a good person who served in the public arena with passion and conviction. The First Lady and I extend our deepest sympathies to her family and friends during this difficult time, Hutchinson said. Now, I can just see the Democrats clapping their hands in glee. Oh boy, two more Republicans are dead. God is with us. Folks, if you hear any Democrats saying something stupid like this, you need to speak up and rebuke them. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. This is not something to celebrate. Period. Sadly, the liberals are good at this one, and they don't seem to understand. Now, on this Mueller report, they're finding out more flagrant lies of omission have been discovered in the Robert Mueller report, which debunked the media's Russia collusion hoax and cleared Trump of obstruction, reports The Hill. In a key finding of the Mueller report, Ukrainian businessman Konstantin Kilmanik, who worked for Trump campaign chairman Paul Manafort, is tied to Russian intelligence, writes John Solomon. Solomon adds, but hundreds of pages of government documents, which special counsel Robert Mueller possessed since 2018, described Kilmanik as a sensitive intelligence source for the U.S. State Department, who informed on Ukrainian and Russian matters. Why Mueller's team omitted that part of the Kilmanik narrative from its report and related court filings is not known, but the revelation of it comes as the accuracy of Mueller-Russia collusions face increased scrutiny. The incomplete portrayal of Kilmanik is so important to the Mueller overall narrative that is raised in the opening of his report. And the opening says the FBI assesses Kilmanik to have ties to Russian intelligence. Mueller's team wrote on page 6, putting a sinister light on every contact Kilmanik had with Manafort, the former Trump campaign chairman. So during the Obama administration, let me repeat that for the CNN impaired, the Obama administration, this same Konstantin Kilmanik worked with the Obama State Department and delivered written reports to U.S. officials via emails that stretched on for thousands of words. What's more, according to Solomon, whose work debunking the Russian collusion hoax has been so far as vital as it has been beyond reproach, The FBI knew all of this well before the Mueller investigation concluded, and yet dirty cop Robert Mueller and his team of partisan Democrats chose, yes, chose to omit this vital exculpatory context about Manafort-Kilmanic relationship in their final report, which is debunked, which has debunked the media's Russia collusion hoax and cleared Trump of obstruction. The reason for this is obvious. These dirty cops are not interested in fully informing the public. This is a team of left-wing opposition researchers out to damage a president they despise, out to make him and those around him look as bad as possible on all hope that it will lead to impeachment. And the reason impeachment is the goal, because these dirty cops all know their so-called case against Trump would never in a million years survive a court of law. Sadly, this is not the first time this dirty cop sought to deliberately mislead the American people through his report, which debunked the media's Russia collusion hoax and cleared the Trump of obstruction. As Breitbart News reported this week, Mueller deliberately and deceptively edited the transcript in a voicemail left by a Trump attorney to make the voicemail sound as shady and incriminating as possible. The full transcript of the voicemail, however, which Mueller did not want the public to see, left a completely different impression, revealed it to be innocuous. So what he now has with his latest revelation is even still more proof that even though the Mueller report debunked the media's Russia collusion hoax and cleared Trump of obstruction, it is still a dishonest document constructed by a dirty cop willing to fabricate evidence by omission, which means as a means to frame a duly elected president he would like to see impeached. On top of all this, let's not forget Mueller's disastrous press conference last week, where Mr. Straight Arrow arrogantly refused to testify before the people's representatives in Congress, and was so zealous in attacking Trump, he screwed up big time and had to repair the damages in that humiliating climb down letter that was put in there. And we are now towards the end of the show. Now, we are glad that you were here. I did have my one caller who came in, but he left a little while ago. Hopefully my microphone's working. I don't know. I can never tell unless I can have my chat room open. And like I said, my chat room is not open. It hasn't been open for a couple of weeks now. And it seems like yesterday, I don't know if we had a chat room there or not, or if the show actually ran or not. But we were here for an hour today, and we are in the process now of working to get our next show up and going. Next week we will be 2 hours, and I found out this last week that I can actually go 3 hours, but the second hour, the third hour, would not be on the air. So I might try to start at 5 o'clock and go through 7. And if I can do that, then I will do a 3-hour show next week. If I can, we will see what goes on. Plus, keep your fingers crossed, maybe our chat room will be open next week. I know it wasn't this week and it wasn't last week, but hopefully soon we will have that fixed, and we will be back again this next week. So until next week, God bless America, God bless our troops, and as always, we will not be fooled. Have a good week. I deserve about every single woman on my ass, and my old man never beat me, but that line was clear as day. Now the prison's overflowing with kids that never got fans, never got fans. I bet some California psychologist would tell me that I'm wrong. Then someone breaks into his house as soon as he gets home, and the burglar's got a crowbar, and it goes from bad to worse. Why don't you put that burglar in timeout? Let me know just how that works.
Yeah, I see the world so clearly now that 30 years have passed. I deserve out every single whooping on my ass. And my old man never beat me, but that line was clear as day. Now the prison's overflowing with kids that never got spanked. All it never got planned. Ain't no sense in lecturing all night there in the kitchen. That wooden spoon still got the power if you know how to use it. And I see the world so clearly now that 30 years have passed. I deserve about every single whooping on my ass. And my old man never beat me, but that line's clear as day. And now the prison's overflowing with kids that never got spanked. No, they never got spanked.
You all.